For Christ the Messiah sent me out not to baptize, but to evangelize by preaching the glad tidings, the gospel, and not with verbal eloquence, lest the cross of Christ should be deprived of force and emptied of its power and rendered vain, fruitless, void of value, and of no effect. For the story and message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing and on their way to perdition. But to us who are being saved, it is the manifestation of the power of God. For it is written, I will baffle and render useless and destroy the learning of the learned and the philosophy of the philosophers and the cleverness of the clever and the discernment of the discerning. I will frustrate and nullify them and bring them to nothing. Where is the wise man, the philosopher? Where is the scribe, the scholar? Where is the investigator, the magician, the debater of this present time and age? Has not God shown up nonsense and the folly of this world's wisdom? For when the world, with all its earthly wisdom, failed to perceive and recognize and know God by means of its own philosophy, God, in his wisdom, was pleased through the foolishness of preaching salvation procured by Christ and to be had through him, to save those who believed, who clung to and trusted and relied on him. For while Jews demandingly asked for signs and miracles, and Greeks pursue philosophy and wisdom, we preach Christ, the Messiah crucified, preaching which to the Jews is a scandal and an offensive stumbling block that springs a snare or trap, and to the Gentiles it's absurd and utterly unphilosophical nonsense. But to those who are called, whether Jew or Greek, Gentile, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is because the foolish thing that had its source in God was wiser than men, and the weak thing that springs from God is stronger than men. For simply consider your own call, brethren. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates and standards. Not many influential and powerful. Not many of high and noble birth. No. For God selected, deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame, and what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. And God also selected, deliberately chose, what in the world is lowborn and insignificant and branded and treated with contempt, even the things that are nothing, that he might dispose and bring to nothing the things that are, so that no mortal man should have pretense for glorying and boast in the presence of God. But it is from him that you have your life in Christ, whom God made our wisdom from God, revealed to us knowledge of the divine plan of salvation previously hidden, manifesting itself as our righteousness, thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God, and our consecration, making us pure and holy, and our redemption, providing our ransom from eternal penalty for sin. So then, as it is written, let him who boasts and proudly rejoices and glories and boasts and proudly rejoice and glory in the Lord. As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony and evidence or mystery and secret of God concerning that he has done through Christ for the salvation of men, in lofty words of eloquence or human philosophy and wisdom. For I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ, the Messiah and him crucified. And I was in passed into a state of weakness and fear, dread and great trembling after I had come among you. And my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, proof by the Spirit and power of God operating in me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, human philosophy.
I'm going to just be sharing this morning about wisdom. It's a word that I've been considering now for a few months, and it just seems that this is the right time to give it. And I just want to, on top of what's already been read, I just want to read you a few verses out of James, the book of James. I make no excuses for reading that long reading, because I think that gives a beautiful description. You know, it really comes home to us exactly what Paul was saying there to the church, you know. And this morning, you know, do you consider yourself to be those foolish people? You know, that you may consider yourself, oh, I'm just I know nothing, I'm just a fool in the world's terms, where you talk about men with women with huge IQs and you know, doing amazing things in the world today. You know, with that, as Paul said there, I haven't come to you, church, with words of eloquence. I've just come to you to preach Christ crucified. You know, and I just pray this morning, and just in the little while I've got, just to share this word with you, that you'll just get to understand what it is about wisdom. In Paul, so James talks about two kinds of wisdom. In James chapter 3, verse 13, it says this, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds, done in the humility that comes with wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers, who sow in peace, reap a harvest of righteousness. And just after James said this, just after he'd spoken about the power of the tongue, of the things that we say, how they can destroy, they can build up or they can destroy. And he's just spoken to them really strong words about, you know, he's even said in the beginning of chapter 3 there, not many of you should become teachers, because of the responsibility that there is. But I don't want that to put you off this morning. And it says there in verse 5, it says, consider, the second part of verse 5, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. And then verse 9 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? And then he goes into this wisdom, two kinds of wisdom, earthly wisdom, wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of heaven. You know, and I want to just show you this morning where that wisdom of heaven comes from. James talks about two kinds of wisdom. I'm not going to be talking about the word of wisdom as one of the spiritual gifts this morning. I'm going to be talking about specific wisdom, walking our lives wisely before God. I'm going to get to it. I'm going to tell you the answer right at the beginning. I'm going to work my way back to it if I can. Now the answer to heavenly wisdom, I want wisdom. You read the book of Proverbs, especially the first 8 or 9 chapters. So it won't take you 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Read it. There's lots more in Proverbs about wisdom, but read those first few chapters about wisdom. It just opens up a new thing about it. I want to say right at the beginning of this message this morning, if you want to walk in heavenly wisdom, it is birthed at the cross of Christ. That's where it comes from. That is where it comes from. It comes from because of the cross of Christ. Jesus says, you know, I must go, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can come. And I wanted to show you this morning that if we want heavenly wisdom, we want to walk day by day in that relationship with Jesus, then we're going to be able to have a measure of heavenly wisdom that we've perhaps never had before, to be able to make decisions, to do things in our lives that's going to affect our future and the future of others as well. You know, we can say things and think, oh. And when I was working in the builders merchant industry, my boss used to say to me, you know, I think it was his favourite line, you know, engage brain, Fisher. Yeah. Because you burst stuff out and say, hang on, engage brain. Church, engage the Holy Spirit. That's where heavenly wisdom is going to come from. And it stems from Calvary, it stems from the cross. That is where it's been birthed. And I want to just take you there this morning. Wisdom is not just head knowledge. You know, it's a real wisdom and understanding will manifest itself in the way that we behave, the way that we live our lives, the things that we do. That's what wisdom is. And the Bible says that true wisdom can be seen when we walk in meekness. You know, and a lot of men don't like meekness. I'm not singling out men here. Don't come single women out for doing heavy lifting. But I'm not singling out the men here. But generally, you talk about a man about being meek, and it's like, we want to be macho. We want to be we want to be the breadwinner. We want to be, you know, I've got to let all that go. In my old age, coming to Spain, I've got to let a lot of that go. And then my wife, in a lot of occasions, is the breadwinner. You know. But it's because God has made a way for that to happen. And let's not despise the things that God does, the way he works things when we are faithful to him. And so wisdom isn't about head knowledge, not about the stuff we've picked up on the way. Yeah, we can pick up, you know, say, oh yeah, we'll do that again. But don't we do it again so often? We say it in our heads and stuff, and then happens, I'll learn by that mistake. And when we do it again, we say, oh, didn't learn. I didn't learn. But true wisdom can be seen when we walk in meekness and gentleness. And I come from an industry over 30 years. I was in a cutthroat industry. Everybody was going for the last half pence saving. You know, I have contractors and builders taking orders off me and giving it to the builders merchant for the sake of, you know, just a few pennies. When you've done all the work and the preparation for it, someone snatched it away. It's a competitive world that we live in. Everybody is vying for business. Everybody wants it. Everybody will do it. And we come into the church, and a lot of us come into a relationship with God. Thank God that my relationship with him started at age 14. And yes, I've had my troubles. I've had my difficulties over the years. I've had to cope with stuff and everything. But you know, I think it's even worse for people who have never had a relationship with God and come to a knowledge of God in their 50s, 60s and 70s, because you've got lots of baggage there, lots of stuff, lots of competitive living. And when we come into the church, we get saved or whatever, and God sets us free. But we're still trying to get rid of this competitiveness that's about us, you know. And it manifests itself in all sorts of things. You know, but true wisdom, Scripture says, can be found when we walk in meekness. And meekness doesn't mean, you know, sort of, you've got to be careful what you say these, haven't you? Meekness doesn't mean it means gentleness. It means when we walk in gentleness towards one another, when we don't retaliate, but we hold back and just take it to the Lord. You know, so often, you know, like myself, you know, engage brain, fish, you know, straight in there, like, oh, we can do this, we can do, you know, I'm going to think about it. It's like Peter, And Jesus said, like, you know, I'm going to be taken away and crucified. Oh, no, Lord, I won't let them do that to you. I'm going to kill them. I've got the sword. And, you know, this is, you know, and Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. You know, he's like, you see, the enemy manifests himself through this man who he said was going to be the rock, that on this rock his church was going to be built. And they're saying, I'm Peter. No. You know, there's this competitiveness that rose up in Peter. You know, wisdom comes from a gentle heart, a spirit. If what we do is aimed continually on bringing attention to me, you know, and that's how we are so often. Even in the church, people want to be me, the biggest church, the more people, better worship, better musicians, bigger this, bigger that, do this, do that, do the other. And Father says so simply, and it came out even in our prayer time at the beginning of the service, you know, let's just go into those high praise places. Let's come to me. It starts with me, it finishes with me, Jesus says. You know, Father says, come to me. You know, seek me. Fear God. But not in that way of, his awesomeness. When we realize his awesomeness, it's the beginning of wisdom, the scripture says. When we realize just how wonderful he is, having a humble heart is so important. It's a key to being wise in spiritual things. Humility, having a humble heart. But it's so hard to shake off this competitive nature of the world is woven into us over the years. And even if we're not careful, we can slip back into doing. And when I point my finger here, you know, because I see it in me sometimes. I see this competitiveness rises. And it's not a godly thing. You know, the only thing that God should be competing with is our attention to him. You know, it's not how many people we've baptized, how many this and that we've done, how much money we've raised. And it's great to raise money for some great causes, and we do that as a church. But oh, my heart's desire is to see our connection with Christ, our love of him, our relationship with him, be as big as our pot of money that we collect for different things and do different things. And it's not a selfish thing, that isn't, because if we are living that life with him, if we're living that close and in love with him, then all of these other things are a natural cut out of the life that we live. We need to be wise in our relationships. You know, life can be a real battle. And when we rely on earthly wisdom, the things that we've tried before out of me, the things that Andrew does that works and doesn't work for me, when I start to rely on that and not relying on him to lead me through, to guide me through, to show me, and to reveal Holy Spirit into me what he wants, then that's on the downward slope. I've got some heavy machinery on here this morning. Just put one out of the way for a minute. Precious Father, what we learn and achieve under our own steam, you know, they can help us in life, but this morning I'm talking about that spiritual, heavenly wisdom that James talks about there, and I want that. I don't want my life all to be about stuff that I've done and I've sorted, because then it becomes my wisdom, not his wisdom, and I want to be walking in his wisdom this morning. I hope that's making sense. So you're mugging around in circles and you think, where's he going to now? You know, but when we live in our own achieved wisdom, in the things that we do, in the naturalness of the world's wisdom, when we live our lives that and rely on all of this stuff, we open ourselves up to all sorts of wrongs, all sorts of stuff. And James talks about it in that reading that we did. You know, wrong influences, wrong friendships, wrong direction, which in turn open up ways for all sorts of wrong stuff to infiltrate into our lives. James gives us a real warning about relying on earthly wisdom there. He says, you know, look at its characteristics. Look what comes out of earthly wisdom. Bitter envy, self-seeking, selfish ambition, boasting, looking for glory, lying. You know, and what is the key for all of those things? What links all of those things together? Competitiveness. Wanting to be number one, wanting to be the macho man, wanting to be able to do my life by myself, lead, you know, my life, do my family by myself. You know, competitiveness brings that. I saw it in business. For 30 years I saw it all around me, getting worse and worse and worse as the world situation got worse and things got tighter and money got tighter and people were buying for less and less business. It got worse and worse and worse. The lying, the cheating, the stuff that was going on. All brought about some sort of worldly sort of wisdom that, yeah, this will work. And people doing all sorts of stuff. And you see the envy that rises, you know, because, you know, so-and-so else, you know, got the job or whatever. And it can turn bitter as well. Frustrating that, you know, self-seeking, look what I've done. Boasting, looking for glory. Competitiveness is all about me winning. It's all about you winning. You coming out on top. That's what competitiveness is. And it can be a real, real bad thing in our lives. This kind of wisdom doesn't come from God. It is the wisdom of the world, and we see it all around us. In fact, you know, I've seen even seen people in the church, and we're near, we could be on an ego trip. And all under the disguise of spiritual zeal. And people see us doing all sorts of things. You know, I've been busy about the Father's business, but are we being wise in what we're doing? Are we wise in the time that we're allocating and setting aside for doing these things? Sometimes we do lots of things because it's just, you know, sometimes we go with our feelings. And hear me correctly today, I'm not, again, sometimes I've gone my feelings and God's come through and done some amazing things. But generally, you know, if we want to just keep close to Him, you know, we just need to see, Father, where are you leading me? What are you taking me into? How am I going to be wise in spiritual things? How am I going to be wise in spiritual things? Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? How much better is it? Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge, and he got it. He could have asked God for all sorts of stuff. He was going to be an amazing, mighty king, replacing his father David, and all the stuff that was there. And he comes to God. God says, well, what do you ask me for? Anything, and I will give it to you. And he says, God, give me wisdom that I can lead this people in a right way. And God not only gave him the wisdom, but he gave him all of the other things as well. He said, when we put priorities right, when we prioritize what we do, when we put God first, then all the other stuff. Does it say in the scripture, and all these things shall be added unto you. But what we want, the add-ons first. So often, don't we? We want the add-ons. We want the benefits first. Lord, give me the benefits, and then I'll serve you. He said, no, serve me, then I'll give you the benefits. You know. Often, it's so often it comes through for us. I can remember the early days. Come to church and not really prepare much. In the old days, we used to have very projecting. In other words, you put an agitator on the top. And we'd come in the morning and say, we did the song, and we've got to see all the musicians, and they just play it, whatever it is. But there's no art in it. So it's heart in it. I walk away from the thing. And they throw it into the box and say, what songs worked last week? Well, that was okay. Well, did that one again? Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah, that's a nice one. We'll do that. And that's the way we chose worship songs. But not anymore. And yet so often, God would come true and have His way in His service, in our hearts, in His meeting place, in spite of us. Yeah. But I want to take away and help to try and take away this morning so many in spite of us situations, yeah. Because we want godly wisdom to do what He wants us to do, to listen to His voice, to hear what He's saying to us. And here are characteristics that James gives of heavenly wisdom: purity, gentleness, a giving heart, mercy, impartiality, without hypocrisy, without pretense, fair and unbiased. And wasn't Solomon just that way? He asked God to give him wisdom, you know, saw the baby in half, had half each. You know, he just needed a way to get the real mum to come forward, because she was the one who said, no, you have the baby. You know, he just knew the way to work in a godly wisdom way. Impartial, without hypocrisy. You know, and when I see that purity, gentleness, giving heart and mercy, it just took me back. I've not got time this morning to go there, but you read yourself, Matthew 5:3-12, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, however you want to call it, blessed are those, blessed are they. And can I take a little bit of liberty this morning and just add this? It's me, not Jesus saying this, but he said, blessed are, you know, the merciful, for they shall receive, but blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are this. And I was at my own blessed or blessed this morning. Now, can I express it this way? If Jesus was teaching this morning, he'd say probably, blessed are the spiritually wise, for they will bring forth much fruit. We need to be spiritually wise, not earthly wise. We've all got some earthly wisdom, all the mistakes, the mess-ups, whatever. Don't want that. I want to be spiritually wise. I want to know what God wants me to do. All these things are wonderful, all those attributes of heavenly wisdom, full of love, consistent with God's holiness. When we live lives that show these attributes, we go on to sow righteous peace like a seed that will bear much fruit. God's wisdom produces much fruit. If you've not seen a lot of fruit, I suggest you need to get God's wisdom. And time after time, God, in my own life, I have to go back to a place where it's just basics all over again. And God has done that with me and with us as a couple. We've gone back to basics. It's almost like started again. Because we get too big for our boots, because we cruise along. And God's removed me from one church that I loved 16 years. You know, Aubrey still goes there when she goes back to the UK. The church that Aubrey goes to. 16 years, they were my family. And it's almost like God took us out of that. Because he said, you're cruising. You do this because you can do it. You've left me out of this. Yeah. And it is so easy. I don't want to be in those situations ever again. But you know, God sometimes gives little warning signs come up and things happen. And God says, like, you know, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? You see, knowledge and education are in themselves useless for getting godly wisdom. And understand what I'm saying there. It's good to have knowledge. It's good to understand things. And, you know, when I go to people like William and Duncan about computers and things, I've kind of a clue about them. You know, when things don't work for me and whatever. We seek those, but, you know, God, give me spiritual wisdom to understand your word. Because this is the important thing. I want to know what this says about me, about us, about you, about this nation. I want to know what it says. And then we want to go the way he leads us. You see, knowledge, education in themselves are useless for getting godly wisdom. Wisdom must go beyond knowing. Must go beyond knowledge. You know, we can know all sorts of things, but still not use the knowledge of those things wisely. You understand what I'm saying? We can know all sorts of stuff. We can be experts in this, that and the other. You know, and there's someone somewhere, a place somewhere where your skills can be used, but you're not using them in that place. You're using them over here where they're not doing anything. And God says, listen to me, I want you to use it there. Because when you use it there, it's going to bring blessing. Lives are going to be touched by my word. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. You know, humbleness, gentleness, humility, wisdom, they are keys, they're linked together like that. Oh, that, you know, and I'm not talking about, oh Lord, I want to be humble. Whatever that song says.
Oh Lord, it's hard
to be humble. I'm perfect in every way. Each time I look in the mirror, I get better looking each day. You know, that's the world's view on humility. No, it's not that kind of humility. Every time I look in the mirror, I want to see Jesus. Every time you look in your mirror, I want you to say, oh, you look tired today. Oh, you look weary today. When you look in the mirror, I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm up, I'm standing, I've got life in my body. I've got another day of opportunity to touch somebody's life with your love today. That's the wisdom of heaven. It comes from a relationship with Jesus. As I said earlier on, you know, read the book of Proverbs. You know, want to find out about wisdom? It's all there. Lots and lots and lots of this. Certainly the first 9 chapters. Find out what God's saying through his word. And we looked at 1 Corinthians in the Amplified Bible. Margaret read it so wonderfully for us. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Read it again when you get home today. Just read it in your version. But, you know, just get to see what Paul is trying to say here to the church. He's trying to say, like, you know, come on. Come on, you're not going to, it's not going to come through eloquent words. It's not going to come through me being just like clever with words. It's going to come with the relationship that you have with Jesus. It's going to come via the cross. It's going to come via Calvary. That's the way it's going to come from. The gospel message is comes to, it's a relationship with Jesus. He beautifully describes the wisdom that comes from heaven. Paul does here in that 1 Corinthians 1, into chapter, the beginning of chapter 2. And it is birthed in the message of the cross, the gospel. That's what the gospel message is. The gospel means good news. That's the good news message today for the church, for Wellspring, for every one of you, for every one of you in the wider sense, for your families, your loved ones, those who don't know Jesus yet, and for the neighbours and the people around. We carry within us the gospel of good news about Jesus. You know, and let's just pray that he will just release that in us in a real way. True wisdom allows us to relate to God's truth as we live each day. If somebody said to me, we talked before about worrying. Oh, you can worry. You know, we talked about a couple of years ago about the fact is that I mentioned about praying all the time. I said, well, God, pray all the time. You know, we're working, we're driving, doing all sorts of things. I said, yeah, but you can worry all the time. Can't we? Just. No matter whether we're driving or bathing or ironing, ladies, or doing things, guys, men. Sorry, I forgot some of the men who iron. Some nice trees. But don't we can worry ourselves sick about things. And yet we say, well, I can't pray all the time. But we can worry. We're talking to ourselves and we're worrying. Oh, I'll never do this. Oh, it's going to go wrong. So we can say, oh, Jesus, like, help me through this situation. How do we do this, Lord? Yeah, Lord, you know, people think this morning, and I'm not really saying this morning, we'd say, like, oh, we'll find a parking place. You know, things like that. You know, I think, oh, dear, you know, this is the God of heaven we're talking to, like, and it's a parking place. But yes, even God is cares about the things that touch our hearts and the desires of our hearts. You know, but yeah, if we can worry 24 hours a day, we can pray 24 hours a day. It's a saying, we don't have to speak out loud. You know, well, don't sing out loud like I do, and people in the opposite car at the lights think, he's got a yampy, this guy. We'll stop and get an ambulance for him, but, you know, you get caught up in a song or something and you're singing. You know, true wisdom allows us to relate to God as a daily walk. We walk with him, we talk with him. Some of the old songs, you know, we don't do anymore now. Very simple. When I was a teenager, you know, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and stuff like that. We don't sing them anymore, but, you know, they were simplistically written. But you see, we make them difficult now. We make them hard, we put bridges and links and all sorts of things into them. Not a motorway, just a song. So, you know, we don't write it on there, William doesn't put it on, but he could do it. We could put bridge, link, so, you know, all these things. But it was just this, but he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we carry and spend time with each other there, none other will ever know. That's my Jesus. True wisdom enables us to relate to him as a daily walk. But it's a heavenly wisdom. It's not an earthly wisdom that we picked up along the way. We picked it up at Calvary. And it follows there the rest of our life. How deep we go depends on us. Depends on our willingness to understand his word, to seek his face. The wisest thing we can ever do is to put our lives into the hand of the God who made us, Jesus, his Son, who gave his life for us, and the precious Holy Spirit, who teaches us and guides us into all truth. True wisdom can be found at the cross. And Paul describes it there. You know, he said, to those who won't believe, this is nonsense. This is nonsense. To you who refuse to believe, you will never understand it. You'll never understand about me because you just refuse to believe. True wisdom to those who believe the message of the cross. We can be we can think the smartest, the brightest, the most educated people in the world will know the most there is to know about God. Wrong. See, but God can't be found in human wisdom, only in the message of the cross. And we may think, well, I am just me, I'm lowly me, I've got no learning and no education, I've got an IQ of 3, and all this sort of stuff we can throw out, and God says, I will confound the wise of this world with you, if your life is sown into me. If you're walking with me and talking with me, I will use you, if you're willing, to confound the wise of this world. Don't be put off because of great people with 2 dozen letters after their name. I used to have a letter after my name when I joined the builders merchant industry. It was DIP. D-I-P. Andrew Peter Fisher, DIP. And I've got all the stuff he said. There's a letter come through this way. Oh, it's a letter for DIP. It meant I had a diploma in business studies, that's all it meant, and I had to go to the next level to get to associate, but for a while, a year or two, I was just a dick. You know, we can be smart, we can be all of these things, you know, bright, you know, it's only the cross where true knowledge and wisdom comes from. There is great power in the cross. And for us to preach the word, you know, we can preach the word, and if we have a reliance on the wisdom of words, those words can make the gospel message of no effect. That's what Paul is saying here. It's not about wise words, clever words. Clever words will not win the lost to Christ. Power of the cross will win people for Christ. What does it say about wisdom? More precious than rubies, more profitable than silver and gold. Those who hold her wisdom fast will be blessed. Wisdom is a tree of life. And it says in the list of places in Proverbs, get it, though it costs you everything. Just get it. Though it costs you everything, get wisdom. Thought we sing that song so often here as we come into communion. Didn't do it today. We sing your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your cross testifies in grace. Tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not earthly confidence. It's only by your blood. So we're singing the words that I'm talking about this morning. We're singing about the wisdom that comes from heaven, not earthly wisdom. There are all sorts of words about him. It's only by his blood. It's only by cross. Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul speaks about the foolishness of the message. And over here I'm going to come to an end. What wisdom is there in a crucified Messiah? You can see where the people at the time were thinking. What wisdom is there? You know, he's not come as king. Crucify him. What wisdom is there in that? What? Yeah. He missed it because they didn't recognize him. They expected a triumphant king going to lead them forward, not a crucified savior. And there is a foolishness to our message. And God calls foolish people like me and you to speak that word, to speak that word in season that touch people's lives. And if we don't keep on saying, we will never, ever get through. Never stop saying, because you say it 1,000 times. The 1,001st time might be the time that person comes through. Never give up on people. Isaiah 55:8-9 says these words, or this is my take on it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. He doesn't do things the way that we think without earthly wisdom. He does things his way, heavenly way. 19th century preacher and theologian Spurgeon said that it is certain that a blind man is no judge of colours, and a deaf man is no judge of sound, and a man who has never been quickened into spiritual life can have no judgment on spiritual things. See, this can be found in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And so what, at the end of my message, as I said in the beginning, we're going to come back to the cross. Because that's where it all starts. It is by believing the message of the cross and receiving Jesus into our lives that we start to receive the revelation of the Holy Spirit about what real wisdom is all about. And it is foolishness and will remain foolishness to those who will not receive him and believe in his words. Have we confidence in what we can do, or is there confidence in what he can do through us? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. The Father, that in my own heart, Father, I just want to know more about you. I want more of the wisdom that Solomon spoke about. Father, I want to be wise in heavenly matters, in spiritual matters. Father, I thank you for the brain and the body that you've given me, that I can think things and do things, whatever, but Lord, I want it to be supernatural. I don't want it to be just normal stuff. I want you to supernaturally enable me, Father, just to pick up on things that are wise, enable me, Father, to do things, Father, that's going to extend the kingdom and bring glory to your name. And I pray that prayer on every single person here today, that we, Father, could get to know you in such a way that, Father, that we were spiritually wise in all things. That, Father, that the things we do and the things we say may bring glory to your name. Father, when we lack wisdom, may we ask for it, just like Solomon did. Mm-hmm. Just like your word said, ask for wisdom. Father, we want to be wise. Help us to walk daily with you, close to you. That, Father, we can talk with you, we can converse with you, you can direct us to your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Comforter. The Comforter's come. And, Father, we just thank you that you had to go so that he could come, so that he could teach us and lead us into all truth. And so, Father, this morning, we just say, Lord, more of you, less of me, and more of you, in Jesus' name. Amen.